It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Hello, this is Tiara.
Hello, this is Allie.
And this is the Goddess Vibration Podcast. Welcome back to another episode. So we've got another guest, and this is going to be a very unique recording because this is something we've never, well, let me clarify. This is something that not only we've never heard of, but it's also something that I didn't even know was possible. And I'm really excited to dive into this topic because it offers another modality to healing and to expanding, especially if you're the type of person who likes to explore some of the more unique healing modalities and more unique healing methods. So we are really, really excited to welcome Mikey Betschneider onto the show today. She is a coach, but she also uses something really unique called epigenetic coaching and face reading to empower leaders and transform challenges into opportunities. And I think this is so incredible because it's really, really awesome to meet people who have used very unique methodologies to healing to help other people. So we're really excited to chat with Mikey today. And I just want to also add in here that she is it second degree Taekwondo?
First of all, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it's the second black belt in Taekwondo.
I think that is so awesome, and you're a badass.
Thanks a lot.
So, Mikey, we're just going to jump right in, and I'm really, really curious to know more about what face reading is and how you stumbled into that and how you use that to help people transform people's lives.
Yeah, sure. So face reading, or the official term is psychophysiognomy, is a really incredible way to understand someone's character, strengths, and even potential by observing the features of someone's face. And it's not about gestures or mimics or face expressions that come and go. It's really about the permanent structural elements of the face. And these features we all have and which are unique hold fascinating insights into who we are at a deeper level. And it's really to get to know yourself better first, but also to be able to communicate better with other people, with your partner or friends or in the business world. And it's never judgmental. It's always focused on the qualities. And actually, it's thousands of years old science all over the world. And I came across through a friend who introduced me to someone who is doing that, practicing and teaching that over 40 years. And at first of all, to be honest, I thought, what's that? Sounds a little, I don't know. But it's so fascinating. And I got caught immediately. And I love to use that to help people.
You said something very interesting, that it's thousands of years old. Now, I am quite familiar with a lot of different healing modalities, but this is the first I've heard of this. So I'm just curious, things that are thousands of years old. Unfortunately, they get lost through time, which is so unfortunate because I feel like the wisdom back thousands of years ago were just so profound, and we've lost a lot of that. So reconnecting to something that is thousands of years old that isn't so well known, like, what does that mean to you?
That's a great question. It means a lot to me because so many healing methods or coaching methods helping other people and ourselves were already there, and I don't know why so much wisdom was already there, and people just replaced it maybe through something else. But I think it's important. So it really resonated within myself to go deeper, because we all could do face reading, actually, because it comes from an intuition. And then, of course, you need to know, like, the face, like the map, you know, how you learn geography and what it means. And again, learn to, I call it central, looking at others, you know, without stereotypes, focusing on the qualities, looking somebody really in the face, which a lot of people barely do. So it got lost, and I love to dig into things which were forgotten. I don't know, it's just something I like.
I love it too, which is why, like, I do a lot of soul integration work, because it's just wisdom that's been lost because we've had so many reincarnations. And so I love digging into the past. It's not always pleasant, but it's who we are. And it's just reconnecting ourselves to what's been lost. And so I have so much respect for what you do. And you also said something interesting about how anyone can do it. And so my question is, as long as you're familiar with the map, and you can place the features on the face, I'm assuming, with the map, is that how most people learn? So I'm assuming certain features on your face in coordinates with the map tells you personality traits. And can it go deeper than personality traits? Like, can it go into health?
Absolutely. So it's a process to learn it and to not get lost into your own kind of triggers or your own past, how you see things. And it's always a combination. So it needs a lot of practice, because you can't really look only at the nose, which stands for a character and a lot of personality traits, and interpret something into it. So you always have to then look at other features in the face, if that makes sense, if that's really the quality of the person. And to your second part of the question, yes, you can absolutely see sickness before they really appear in the body, in the face, which is called pathophysiognomy.
What? That is so fascinating.
I know. So
incredible.
So can you tell us, like, give us an example? So, like, for example, this part of the face is for this trait, and then, like, this part of the face is for this trait or feature. Like, which parts of the face which parts of the face represent which features?
So I can give you a little roadmap, because if you look at the forehead itself, the forehead has already 34 areas which say something about. And if something comes more up, so it's more dominant in the face, that underlines the quality. If something goes more in the face, or it's like a little hole or something, then you also know, okay, that quality is not there, which doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just you need to be aware of. For example, in my face and on the side of the foreheads, I have some little holes, I would call it, in an area which represents, like, economic number thinking, math strength. So that's missing. And now I understand why it was always a pain for me to be good in math, you know. And it's amazing that I know it now, because when I do some calculations, I take somebody by my side and double check it, you know. Or in the chin, in my chin, there's also a little hole. I don't know the real English expression for it. And that speaks for somebody who's really self-criticizing, tending to be like a perfectionist. And so sometimes I really go with my finger over it and says, ah, okay, here you are again. So just let it go. Relax, don't be over critical with yourself, and that even that helps. So if you go a little bit through the face, the nose for example speaks about, as I said, the character in general, the willpower and determination of a person. But then you have three parts. You have the root of the nose, where it begins between the eyes. That can reveal intellectual strength and focus. If you act after you rethink something, that comes with the specific forehead feature. If it's well defined, it suggests, for example, someone who has mental resilience and a strong ability to concentrate. Then when you move down to the bridge of the nose, this area also shows determination and how someone approaches their goals, but can also show if somebody is good in teaching others, or it's also the expression of a psychological nose. So who is good in, you know, helping others in a psychological way. And a prominent bridge, for example, often belongs to people who are naturally persistent and hardworking. And then we have the tip of the nose that tells a completely different story. For example, it reflects empathy.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Emotional expressiveness, a flashy tip, can be a sign of someone who's warm, caring, highly attuned to others. And even the nostrils have something to say. So wide nostrils point to a stronger physical constitution and vitality. So that's just the nose in a nutshell. And when we come to the mouth, we see how somebody expresses their emotion. The upper lip speaks to or represents the wishes we have, and sometimes they get smaller when we get older, because life kind of put us through some struggles where the desires and wishes got a little bit less. And the lower lips is expressing how you go through your desires, how you approach these. And if you have a rich emotional life, so if you're more like into food, touch or movement. And then we have the corners of the mouth. You can see if someone went through life and maybe some painful experiences in the emotional field or in the activity field, so at work. And that also helps when it comes to coaching. I can see if life happens to all of us, right? And maybe some people can't express what what was going on, what is going on with them. And I can ask some questions to go maybe faster to somebody's blind spots and points and even pain points to help them, you know. Then you have the eyes, often referred to as the windows to the soul, and they give away so much. The size of the eyes matters. Larger eyes often signal sensitivity and introspection, while smaller ones show a more focused and practical skill set. But it's not just the size. It's also where and how someone gazes is important too. And then you have, you know, the width between the two eyes. And you have the eyebrows, which can show a sense for aesthetics, for passion for things. And the ears, which show your soul goal in life. And are they more up or down? Are they at the same height? You have the chin, the cheekbones, you have the back head, you have the hair. So the skin, so many features in a face can tell so much. And overall, the face changes. So when you live your qualities, your face changes. It gets more in balance, which would make sense, right?
Okay. Okay, so I knew about the eyes. I knew that the eyes were the windows to the soul, but that was really the only reference I knew before even having this discussion with you. And I have to tell you, I cannot believe how much information you can extract from a person's face. And what even is more mind-blowing to me is the fact of, like, you even bring in the distance between the eyes. And what really intrigues me is when you said that the face changes. So are the personality traits or the transformation as the face changes, is that an indication that you are making the proper changes for your transformation?
Yeah, so your qualities are there and they will be always there. It is just the fact that you live your qualities that changes your face. And yeah.
So, like, okay, so this is really interesting. So if a person is, like, headed on the right course, right, because we're always faced with decisions and we have free will, but of course there's always, like, a map for us, like there is a proper map for us and a soul contract for us, and we're supposed to achieve and do specific things in this incarnation. And so if I am on the right path, I'm gonna assume that my body will change, my face will change, and that will be, like, an indication to someone who can read faces that, like, I'm doing the right things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you can. Wow. You can see that. Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
That is mind-blowing. I know. So, Mikey, it looks like a lot of your career now is focused on doing that work in, like, for business or in, like, that corporate professional setting. Are you doing this kind of work for teams and employees?
Yes, I do it for individuals and also for teams, because it helps really within the communication. And sometimes leaders would like to, or think they have to, change the team because there are conflicts, there are challenges. But it's more sometimes the position within the team to check in: are these people really at the same, at the right tasks for themselves to thrive? Are they according to their qualities? So that is helping with the group dynamic. And also, of course, for leaders to understand themselves, to be more authentic, because everywhere you can read, be yourself, be authentic, then you can make better decisions, you're a better leader. But do we really know who we are? So their face reading helps a lot. But also in other fields, for couples especially, or it just creates awareness. Or I help with some difficult negotiations beforehand. You know, when I see a picture of somebody, of course, it's not the deepest analysis, but I can see some features, of course, dominant features. And it's about a better communication, that it's a win-win for everyone and that they don't lose themselves within communication.
That makes a lot of sense because, you know, I worked in the professional setting for a while. I actually worked in government and they had gone out of their way to pay for coaching that was geared towards communication and, you know, being authentic when it comes to your needs in order to reduce interpersonal conflict. So that you can even do that with face reading is incredible.
Yeah, it's very helpful, even though a lot of people are still hesitant about it. But when I do a session, then they are always like very surprised about, how on spot it is.
I feel like everyone has a little skepticism, especially when it comes to different healing modalities, because it's new to them and people are used to what they're used to. You know, it takes a very specific person, at least someone who is open-minded or has a curious mind, to really embrace it. But I love when, you know, someone's skeptical and then, you know, you'll do your reading and then they like come out surprised, because Tiara and I often talk on this podcast about alternative medicine and all like different healing modalities, because there are things that we can learn about ourselves outside of the traditional conventional side of medicine that, you know, we grew up in the system and were taught. So I love the work that you're doing. And I love the fact that you work with companies. I think more companies should invest in this, because I know plenty of people who are quality workers, but they were never in the right role. And I know for me, that was the case for me within certain companies. And I was a fantastic employee, but I just didn't get the recognition, or it's just, or people just get, especially in the United States, people get very competitive and petty, especially if it's a larger, even smaller companies. It's just, you know, everyone wants to get ahead and people are looking out for themselves. And I understand the competitiveness within the workplace, but in terms of quality of life, especially in the workplace, I love what you're doing and I wish more companies would invest in something like this.
Thank you. Yeah, I see it exactly as you do. It's really helpful.
Okay, so when it comes to shadow work, so Ali and I talk a lot about shadow work because it's a really important part of the healing journey. It's a really important part of the ascension process, is looking at those aspects of yourself that perhaps you're not aware of, that contain self-destructive patterns or the ways in which you might negatively impact others and your interpersonal relationships or connections. For someone who wants to do that type of work, how would you go about that process or go about supporting them using face reading specifically?
I love that you're also into shadow work, because I think it's very, very important. And that, I think, face reading contributes to that, because it is pointing out only in a positive language the qualities, the strength somebody has. And often we have wrong beliefs, you know, negative beliefs in our mind, and we would not maybe think at first about our qualities. And so that helps to see like the big picture about oneself and strengths we or the clients haven't seen till then. And also they can reveal as resources in challenging moments. And even if you do the shadow work and see your whole picture, you can then also look at your resources you have. For example, someone who's very good in music or playing an instrument and they've forgotten about it, and I can see their musicality and their rhythmic sense in their ear, they get remembered to that resource, which also helps them go through some of these important work of transformation.
So it sounds like then that this can help people reconnect to those pieces or parts of themselves that they've disconnected from.
Absolutely. And especially when you went through trauma or things like that, you tend to want to, you know, not look at, or you got forgotten as self-defense mechanism.
That's really interesting that you say that, because Tiara and I just published an episode about us talking about repressing emotions. And when we repress emotions, a lot of the shadow work that we have to do is like we have to dig deep into those repressed, forgotten, avoidance emotions that are just kind of locked in a box. We throw away the key, and you know, part of the journey is unfortunately unlocking that box and kind of working through some of the shadow piece. And I am unfamiliar with what you do, so I didn't realize that this could also be used for pieces like shadow work, and then discovering, like uncovering, like your forgotten skill sets. Like, I had no idea that you could look at the ears and realize, like, you know, you are a musical person, and everyone needs this, you guys.
Well, and I particularly love too that, because she had mentioned that she does it in a positive way, and we know that a lot of people shy away from shadow work, like it's scary and it's intimidating. So I love that you can take that and still make it like a positive experience without necessarily, you know, too heavily triggering or scaring people away. And I think that's huge.
It is huge. And it's a skill that many coaches actually don't have. Like, I take the approach of just being very honest about it. And I'm sorry if that scares you, but I do believe in honesty and authenticity. Like, everyone has their own approach. But the positivity piece is something that needs to be there, but it also needs to be balanced, because you don't want to overpromise and then someone be like, well, you said that this would be easy. And like, you just have to find that balance with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. It has to be like a sparring, and at the same time, you set the music, the standard for the conversation, for a safe space. And I love to create a safe space, an honest safe space for clients, that we then can really talk about everything.
Absolutely. That is crucial, because I also do life coaching, and I always say that when you're working with someone individually on such an intimate level, because it is intimate, like you are allowing someone is allowing you to come in and like talk about your deepest, darkest fears, your triggers, your happiness, your whatever it is. It's like, unfortunately, if you really want to transform, you got to let people in. And so I always tell people it's very important to choose, like, intuitively make sure that the vibe's there, make sure it feels right to you before picking someone, because again, it's a very intimate relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's crucial.
Mikey, have you ever had an experience where you've been doing this kind of work with someone and they've given any type of pushback, or maybe they don't agree with your findings? And if so, how do you typically address that type of situation?
Yeah, so far, mostly I haven't had that experience. It was more the, I would say, the wall to break that somebody really is curious enough to say, okay, let's try it. But even that, I can see at a person if that person would be open for it or not. And I personally love the challenge to not convince, but to just show how curiosity, you know, can be a win for somebody. So I had more the experience that people were hesitant and maybe kind of provocated me and said, yeah, sure, tell me three things about myself you can't know. And then I tell them things and then they, wow, they look at me and they even can see if somebody lies, you know. So that is something I came across. So the first, like, some misconception or hesitance against face reading. But then when we talk about it, and it's amazing, I love that, when I ask questions, how do you live this quality? How do you live your willpower? And then the people are talking just, you know, from themselves, and it gets deep very quickly.
So it sounds like there's a component of curiosity, because you mentioned curiosity, that it's almost in a way stoking the other person's curiosity, especially when you nail the traits that they have.
Yes, exactly. And this is also something, a silver line through my coaching, because I think you can go easier, a little bit easier through transformation when you just stay curious, you know. Oh, that's interesting that happened. Oh, that's interesting. You know, that's at least how I live it when I just move to a total foreign country for myself. It's an unknown language. And I always have that in my mind. Stay curious. And that helps to any change.
It really does. And I know even for my journey, like, a big component of some of the digging I've done is out of sheer curiosity. Like, I just want to know what's down there, and I want to know why it's down there, and I want to know how it's affecting me and how I can transform it. And all of that is very interesting and intriguing to me. So I'm wondering if for some of the people that sort of have that fear around the shadow work and the deeper aspects of, or layers to themselves, and looking at that, if it's just a perspective shift that's needed. Like, don't look at it as a challenge. Look at it as something that's interesting and intriguing, and, you know, look at it from the lens of curiosity.
That's a great point you're making, absolutely.
So for our listeners, Maike also transitioning away from face reading, because this has just been very fascinating, but I also want to highlight something else that she does, which is something called epigenetics. And I'm not so familiar with epigenetics. I was wondering if you could explain to us what that is and how you use it to help transform people.
Of course, yeah. So it's also a science. And it's, first of all, it's really all about the fact that we are not victims of our genes. We are masters of our genes. Because, of course, we are all born with a specific, very individual DNA. But epigenetics showed us, or shows us actually, that we can activate the good genes, the healthy genes, and silence the not so healthy, the toxic, the genes which make us sick, you know, because it all helps the body to heal itself, because the body knows that, you know. And maybe to make it more simple, if you imagine your DNA as a movie script with each scene representing a different gene that contributes to the overall story. And epigenetics is like the director and the editing process, deciding which scenes to emphasize. which to cut, and how to rearrange the story. And while the script itself remains unchanged, the director's choices and the editing can create a completely different movie experience, meaning that the same script can result in a drama or a comedy or an action thriller, depending on the epigenetic direction given to the scenes. That makes it maybe a little bit more understandable. And we have a lot of factors to stimulate the gene expression, like diet, nutrition, physical activity, the psychological state, beliefs, stress level, sleep, and environment. All these factors influence our gene activities and the one of our children.
I love the movie analogy because that definitely helped explain what you do.
Yeah, that helps so much.
So, okay. A couple months ago, we had a guest on here who works with like DNA activation codes. So is epigenetics similar?
I honestly don't know really about what she or he is doing, so I can't compare. I can only say what's epigenetics, you know, and how you can activate the good ones and to get the body into self-healing without the pills, you know, the conventional medicine, which I have nothing against it. I love like an antibiotics for my daughters when they got really, really sick, and it made sense. But I'm more a fan because the body can do so much.
Absolutely. And that's actually something Tiara and I did talk about in our repressed emotion episode, where we were talking a little bit of the differences between alternative medicine and conventional medicine. And although we both believe conventional medicine definitely has its place in this world, Tiara's and I preferences will always be seek alternative medicine and modalities before. So the epigenetics, though, it's very interesting how you can activate like the better genes, and you can kind of tame the not so good genes. And I just didn't realize how our DNA can be altered, and it can be significantly changed. That can alter our own personality. It can alter our own destiny even. And it's just this type of work. I love that we have such unique guests on this podcast who do such unique work, because this work, people should have awareness to it and know that there are alternative options outside of conventional medicine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you're offering all these different alternatives and methods, and because a lot of people don't know about what's out there, and you give them a choice, you know.
So, Mikey, you said something really interesting when you were talking about epigenetics and influencing which genes get activated, which ones can be sent into dormancy. Is it true that your own thinking patterns and beliefs and altering or changing those can activate or deactivate specific genes?
Absolutely. So that's a big, big part. It is really a big, big part of the epigenetic coaching. So our mind leads us, you know, to the action and also to healing, you know, of our body. So that's really like the quantum physics, not even theory, science, proves that even.
I'm sorry, that just blows my mind. I think that's so incredible. And I don't think many people know that or recognize that. I mean, you know, we don't obviously know that much about quantum physics. I know that there's a lot of truth to some of that, but it's just incredible that little things like just the way you think and the way that you act and the way that you live your life can influence which genes get turned on or turned off. And that's just, it blows my mind.
I actually have never made that correlation. Like, I know that everything is energy, and I know thoughts and feelings and words and all of that is energy, but I actually never made the correlation that it can impact our DNA. And it actually makes sense now that I'm sitting here thinking about it.
Absolutely. So our thoughts really activate our genes, you know.
So one of the things I've come to understand is that genetic memory can get passed on, like to your children, your offspring, throughout your lineage. So it sounds like with the proper work, even just working with you, Mikey, that it's possible for people to end destructive behavioral patterns that have affected their lineage for generations.
Absolutely. Transgeneral epigenetic coaching is really also a big, big part and an important part, because we got traumas from our ancients, you know, all our family members before, into our cells, and we pass them by. So we can heal that for ourselves, and then we pass, I would say, more healthier genes towards our future children, grandchildren. It's a very important part of the work.
That's why if any of you who are into spirituality or New Age, you'll hear a lot of people reference generational trauma. This is what Tiara is talking about.
So Mikey, if anyone is interested in learning more about epigenetics or face reading, or maybe if they're interested in your services specifically, where can they go to learn more? Like, do you have any specific programs?
So I posted on my social media, on Instagram or on my website. I teach face reading in online workshops, or I have retreats in Greece on an island where I combine all of that methods. So yeah, there's always something going on, or a one-on-one session for each of the field, or an overall holistic coaching where I implement all of these methods.
Do you offer the coaching guidance as well? So say, for example, if you identify that someone is disconnected from specific aspects of themselves, do you offer guidance and how they can like reconnect to those aspects?
Absolutely, yeah. That's then a very intense coaching, and I offer it as 24/7 for a several period of time, because I, from my own experience, find it so much more helpful. Because if you have a weekly 1 hour coaching session, that helps, but from my experience, not really. When you want to change old patterns, when you want to change the behavior, then a situation on Friday night pops up, or Sunday morning, and then I will be there to give some impulses, a quick talk or a quick check-in or like a WhatsApp. So that will be like an intense 24/7, so that they really overcome these wrong beliefs, or to go through the transformation quicker and easier.
So I know that everyone works at their own pace and everyone will transform at different rates, but I'm just curious, on average, how long would you say it really takes for someone to really transform? Just average.
Yeah, it depends, of course, of the person, and it depends on the situation or what's the change. Is it a career transformation, or is it like a real trauma from 20 years ago? We look at it. But on average, it's, I would say, 3 months.
Yeah, that's definitely faster than I thought you were going to say. It's very intriguing.
That is, and I love how you make yourself accessible 24/7, because I don't know that a lot of coaches do that. I think they kind of limit access to like business hours or something along those lines. So I love that you do that. And that is actually very helpful, especially when you're trying to change behavioral patterns. Like, it's always nice to have access to support through that, because that work can be, it can be tricky to navigate. So I respect you for, you know, making yourself accessible like that.
Absolutely.
Well, Mikey, thank you so much for joining our podcast and speaking about your incredible work. And honestly, like, it's just so fascinating how you can, how you work with personal people, but how you also work with businesses. And again, I love the model for both personal and business. And you just, we need more people like you out there, like, spreading alternative modalities that can really help transform people outside of the traditional things. Because I feel, especially with the energy happening on the planet right now, a lot of people have been doing the traditional thing. A lot of people have been in the matrix for a very long time. And I think what's really happening is that people are finally awakening to the fact that whatever they've been doing for however long isn't working, and people are starting to wake up and starting to look for outside resources, outside of everything that they know, despite their hesitation. People are becoming more curious. And so I just want to say thank you for coming on and talking to us about your work, and, you know, really help educating our audience that there are other methods out there.
Thank you so much for having me and being curious.
Yes, and, you know, we don't run into a lot of epigeneticists. I hope I'm saying this right, epigeneticists. Mikey, you're one of the few epigeneticists that I've seen doing this work, and that work is very, very powerful. So for our audience, we're going to put Mikey's information in the show notes, but Mikey, can you share your website?
Absolutely. It's www.compass-setting.com.
Thank you for that. And again, Mikey, thank you so much for being a guest on our show. As I mentioned, we'll make sure her information is accessible to anyone who is interested in learning more. And Mikey, I hope that we can stay in touch.
Absolutely. It would be a pleasure. Thank you again for having me and for your great work.
Thank you so much. So everyone, again, all of her information is going to be on our show notes. We hope to collaborate again with her, because her work really is fascinating. We also have an online community now up and running. Maybe we can get her in as a guest, not putting you on the spot, but we have loved having you here, and I hope everyone has a fantastic week.
Same to you, ladies. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, you guys.